We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. In the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
11:05 on The Fan, hour two of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the midday, 877-337-6666. It is the phone number here till 2 o'clock. Maggie and Bart come your way. Dove Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live. The Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses, of course. Only at ShopRite. John Heyman. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Sport Clips, cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in. By Brother Supply, New York's number one source for ICMP tax, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils. And by Greenwich Hospital, the man, the myth, the legend, our good buddy. I think he's still in San Diego. John Heyman. Hello, John.
Hello. Yes, I am in San Diego. You guys must be in a good mood.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in a tremendous mood.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets got the two starting pitchers. The Yankees only got one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's not compare it.
Doesn't work that way.
You know what we're happiest about? Anthony Rendon's an Angel. We're happy about that.
I understand. Fantastic player. I thought the Angels did a good job there.
And a Mets killer. Yes.
Yeah, I was expecting Texas to come in big, and my understanding is they offered 6 years, $32 million, and so they weren't really that close. A little surprising going into a new stadium, but good for Artie Moreno and the Angels. They're trying to win. Now they actually need a pitching staff. But other than that, they look good.
You know, I was envisioning when I woke up the other night and I saw your tweet that said Gerrit Cole to the Yankees. I was envisioning you going up to Rosenthal, going up to Sherman, going up to all these other guys and basically saying, how does it taste? Because I got that first. I beat you to the scoop. Do you talk trash after you break a story before
anybody
else?
No, I don't. No, that's not good because there are many stories that Ken Rosenthal or Jim Passan or Joel Sherman get. So
you're a humble
guy.
I
don't like to be on the receiving end of such a thing. So, no, I am not a big trash talker. No, I kind of hide in the corner and hopefully nobody notices.
That's a smart
John, everybody notices. You're all over TV. Come on, and you're on our show. So,
well, you know, it's a job. It's a living.
I got to tell you, I'm in a Met text chain, as I like to call it, with a bunch of friends of mine who are Met fans.
What and kind of one?
A Mets text chain. It's just a bunch of Met fans texting each other.
Oh, I see.
So last night they write to me. They say, hey, is anybody watching MLB Network? And I said, why? They're like, oh, they're talking to Heyman, Morosi, and Rosenthal, and they're asking these dumb, funny questions. But Heyman is so funny, he clearly got that. From doing the show with you and Joe.
It really is amazing.
So we were given credit for your MLB Network humor that was displayed last night.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said, the personality transformation has been noted by my wife, my daughter. They can't believe it. They just thought I was like a cardboard cutout for 56 years.
Well, tell Mrs. Heyman and your daughter they're welcome.
Yes. I know. It's, yeah. Yeah, you know, they. I think one of the questions, excuse me, yesterday was they said Morosi is such a very nice guy. They didn't ask me this question, of course, but he was such a nice guy. Were you ever in a fight? I don't remember if it was De Rosa or somebody asked, but he claimed to have been in a fight. So I called BS on that. I don't see Morosi in a fight. And then I noted that I had been in two fights and I was 1-1. They were both one punch knockouts. And,
well, that's, there you go.
One over a stickball game at number 5 school, as Evan knows what that is.
And, oh yeah, I played.
The other was over a quarter. I won a bet in a believe it or not on a Monday night game. I was better back then. And my friend Flip, who lost the bet, was a bad sport and flipped me the quarter. And
wow.
Some guy, Carl Hart, picked up the quarter, and I asked for it back. I kept asking, but I wouldn't give up because I wanted that quarter. And he ended up popping me in the eye. And I think he had a ring on his finger for some reason. And so I walked around with a black eye for 7 hours.
And where is that guy today, the guy that popped you?
Carl, I'm assuming in prison. But I don't know.
Assuming in prison.
John, now that we know Gerrit Cole's a Yankee, a little post-mortem on the signing, who ended up being their toughest competition, the Dodgers and the Angels, and how far above the biggest offer did the Yankees go? Because I got the impression the Yankees basically said, look, we got $1 billion. We want this guy. We're not messing around. You know, we're not going to negotiate the last dime advantage on the Dodgers and Angels. We're just going to beat these guys. We're going to bully these guys.
Yeah, I would say you're right about they're not messing around. But you know what? The other teams were motivated. They definitely tried hard. They definitely wanted them bad. As we know, the Angels don't have a rotation at this point, and the Dodgers felt that this was the guy that could put them over the top in the postseason, which makes sense. I mean, that's where they've struggled, and to have that big starting pitcher just makes a huge difference in the postseason. My understanding is, and the first offers came in, and they were all within range. They were all in the same ballpark, and the Angels were at 8 for 280, I believe, and the Dodgers were at 10 for 300, and the Yankees were something below 300. Don't know exactly where the Yankees were at this point. And basically, it came down to the fact that Gerrit Cole wanted to be a Yankee and said, "Let's negotiate it out with the Yankees." If he had done that with the other two teams, I think they would have been at 324 or close as well. So this wasn't a case of like a Kevin Brown where he got 105 and nobody was over 70, or, you know, there have been some other contracts. I remember there was one with, this is a minor player, Chris Bosio. He had like a one-year, $2 million deal, and Seattle, not paying attention, offered him $15.4 million. It wasn't like that at all. This is the best pitcher in baseball. All three teams were in there heavy.
Mm. I want to go. Let's go back to the Mets here situation, and I'm happy with Porcello and Walker, the combination of the two. But there's somebody, we had a caller, there's a rumor out there that the Mets now may be looking, because as only the Mets would, now to be trading a starting pitcher away, like maybe Mats or Stroman, or dare I say Noah?
Well, I think he's basically said Noah's staying, so I think
he better. Can,
yeah, disabuse you of that.
That doesn't mean
notion.
Anything. That doesn't mean anything. You know that.
That is true.
Well,
should,
you know, I like to take people at their word. You know, most people are honest fellows.
No, John, it's not about being dishonest, in all seriousness. I hate to defend Brody. Here's why. Let me give you my quick reason. Of course, I'll let you continue. Gerrit Cole just cost $300-plus million. There are desperate teams out there. If the Dodgers came to the Mets with some kind of godfather offer for Noah Syndergaard, I'm listening. How can you not? It would be irresponsible. Mm. So that could change things. And as much as you and I, Joe, say, I don't want to trade Syndergaard, sure, on the surface we don't, but for the right deal, yeah, Everybody's got a price.
Yeah, I don't think they're trading Noah Syndergaard. I mean, that's the strength of the team. And, you know, I don't think there's any, you know, I don't think there's any way they trade Syndergaard. I don't like to say never, but I don't see that. You know, six pitchers is not, it's nice to have six good pitchers. It's nice depth, but I hope they keep the six pitchers. They're all pretty reasonable pitchers. Some of them great, obviously, but I don't see that happening. And I like to see that they have the potential to put Lugo and Gesellman in the bullpen. Yes, there was some speculation out there on Twitter about that possibility, but I don't think it's going to be Noah if it is anybody.
Mm. All right.
We're talking to John Heyman about all the baseball that's going on right now. What scares me is not just the pitching thing that, you know, we were just talking about, but that they are so desperate to rid themselves of Jed Lowry and Jairus Familia, two Brody signings, by the way, that they are willing to attach assets to it. What is the latest you're hearing about what it's going to take to move Jed Lowry? Because I'd rather just keep him and let the guy play baseball.
Yeah, they do seem to be trying to move him. You know, nobody likes to pay tax. The Mets are in there, and then they want to make sure they're under the luxury tax threshold. So they're working on moving Lowry. I don't think there's any question about that. However, they're able to do it. I mean, you know, he's got $10 million, and, you know, at this point, certainly not worth $10 million. If they could pay down half, that's one way to do it. Another way is to attach an asset. So I do think that Lowry will be traded somewhere, whether it's Oakland or somewhere else. I think that's likely.
Brett Gardner back with the Yankees. 1 year, $12 million deal earned. Who's got that so we can give them the proper credit?
It looks like Sherman.
Sherman. See?
There you go.
So there you go. John. As John was talking about, everybody gets
there. There you go. See, Joel Sherman got one, John.
There you go.
He's good. He's good. No trash talking.
No, I like Sherman.
Wait, right. No, it's George King.
Oh, George King.
Sorry, George King. Forget it. Yeah, I'll have to go. No trash talking for him either.
I like Sherman, but I don't think Sherman likes us. I get the impression.
Why wouldn't he like you? Of course he likes you.
You want me to tell you my reason?
Tell me the reason why.
I'll give you two reasons.
What
First of all, we've tried to get him on. He always says no.
Right.
And then when I did MLB Network one of those times, he was there, and I kind of got this coldness from him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I like him. I was all nice to him. I don't know. I didn't get
into any fights with him.
No, I know. I don't know what it is. Maybe we said something on the... I don't know.
Whatever.
Maybe
because we have Heyman on all the time.
You know what?
Maybe that's what it is.
He's jealous.
Maybe because we have you on all the time, he's ticked off. Well, you know, to heck with them.
Yeah.
They got Heyman on. What do you need me for?
You know what? I think
maybe
you're
that's
right.
The answer.
Hey, John, I got a dumb question. Can I ask you a dumb question?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, cool.
I mean, you know, your questions are usually very intelligent. So,
you mentioned the luxury tax. We've talked about it, how surprisingly the Mets are right near this luxury tax number. Does David Wright's money count towards that, even if insurance is covering it? Because I know David Wright is due $15 million or $12 million this year, whatever the number is.
Yes, I believe it does.
Okay,
I'll recheck with you and let you know for sure.
So doesn't the Met payroll sound a little misleading based on that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, and we'll see about Cespedes as well.
Cespedes and
I'm
David
telling you,
Wright.
Cespedes is going to have a big year for the Mets this year. Just remember, when he does, well, you heard it from me.
He looked good on the video that we saw, so I wouldn't put it past him. But, you know, if he doesn't play, they'll get that money back. If I'm the Mets, I'm not going to worry about the tax. What are they going to pay, $1 million, $2 million?
They're worried about it.
How can I talk? I've moved to Florida to avoid tax, so, you know.
I'll be here soon, John.
We'll be happy to have you, Joe. People don't like to pay tax, but $1 to $2 million, $3 million, whatever. I mean, they've never paid any tax, so I think they shouldn't worry about it so much. But I'm not against trading Lowry. They have a full infield, as is, I think.
Nah, you never have enough depth. I disagree with you. It's why I disagreed with the Yankees. Now, I get the Yankees can easily sell, hey, we just signed Gerrit Cole. We can't pay everybody. I respect that. I get it. But they lost depth by losing Didi. Let's face it. I mean, they're relying on Andujar being healthy, Urshela repeating what he did last year, DJ having another MVP-caliber season, Glaber playing shortstop. Voit and four. They've got guys, but I'd feel much better about that infield if Didi was there.
I wouldn't say they're relying on Andujar because they have Urshela for third and Gleyber Torres for short.
They probably
need to get a little depth because it does feel like Andujar could be traded. There's so many teams looking at third base.
That's a mistake. I'm sorry. Off a year in which he lost his value, why would you do that?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of teams looking for third baseman and desperate, but so I think it's a consideration. They might keep him, but what if you keep him? What is Urshela's then
the
backup for?
Are you confident that and I get it? Maybe Urshela's put it all together. I have no idea. He certainly had a huge game six. I don't want to forget that, a game six of the ALCS. Are we confident that what we saw from last year with Urshela's, that's it? That's who he is now?
I think they're pretty confident.
Right. Okay.
You know, my understanding is he found something in his swing. Gleyber Torres helped him with it, and he looked great for a year. So, I think they're feeling very good about Urshela.
You know, a guy I want to see the Mets sign, Betances. What do you think about that?
Sure, I love Betances. Great potential. He's got some injury questions. He's going to have a decent market. Right now, the relievers are struggling. 2 years ago, that was all the rage, and I didn't get it at the time.
But they're starting to get smart.
Exactly.
You know what's
that.
Happening? They're starting to realize that these guys are like the kickers in the NFL. They come and go like the wind now.
Right. Yeah. No. I think that was crazy. All those relief pitchers. Out of the 20 big signings that we had. Two of them worked out, and they were just fine. They weren't anything spectacular. I remember one was Steve Cishek. I can't even remember the other, but neither one was great. They were fine. Maybe it was Brandon Kinsler, but the others were all bombs. You know, it's tough to – unless you're getting a great one, relievers are up and down.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
That's why I'm very mixed about how to fix the Met bullpen. I don't like the idea of just hoping guys are better, but I also don't love the idea of just throwing money at, you know, question marks. Because
right,
that's what
right.
Joe's right. That's what relievers basically are
they
these
are.
Days.
I'm with it. I think they've got it right. I think that the impact is in these big stars, the starting pitching, and right now, they're all doing fantastic, and it looks great for baseball. I think MLB's actually happy with this. It was a great show here in San Diego. And, I'm just wondering, though, if the agents are thinking that a lot of the middle and lower guys are really going to get squeezed, and I think that's probably what's going to happen. We're going to have guys making $35 million a year, and we're going to have a lot of guys minor league deals or $1 or $2 million a year. And maybe that makes more sense than giving relievers, middle relievers, 3 years for $27 million, as we saw 2 years ago in Orlando.
You know, I really believe there's been some kind of a conspiracy that all these guys now are signing – as soon as they're signing now with the free agency period. This is about the soonest I can remember in a lot of years. And I think that I think the edict came down from on high. You look at the NFL, when NFL free agency starts, these guys are signing immediately. Like the first 2 days, basically everybody's signed. You look at the NBA, it's kind of the same thing. These guys are signing immediately. And I think that something came down from the top. Hey, we got to sign guys a lot sooner. We can't wait to February to be signing big name guys. What do you think about
that? Yeah, I think that's part of it. I do. I think they want to have a nice show here. I think they want to put baseball's best foot forward. And, you know, I also think that we had three players that are really coming off of spectacular success in the season and the postseason. Rendon could have been the World Series MVP. Strasburg was the World Series MVP, and Cole was the best pitcher and player the last several months of the season. Should have won the Cy Young. So you get players without flaws. Last year we had Manny Machado, who was looked at as kind of a malingerer and had a bad episode with the Dodgers, and we had Bryce Harper, who had kind of a low WAR. I know that's big for you, Joe, and great defensively the year before, and people saw flaws. They didn't see players that were perfect. So I think part of it is we have three great players, but you're right. I mean, you know, many of the other very good players, Wheeler and others, got big deals. I mean, you guys were right on Wheeler. I didn't see him as a $100 million pitcher. I do see Bumgarner as a $100 million
pitcher. Where's he going, by the way?
I did not see that, probably. You were absolutely right.
Where's Bumgarner going?
You know, the only thing I would say is I think the NL makes sense. He wants to hit, and we know that about him. So someone with the NL, Atlanta, St. Louis, they're in. I don't think Cincinnati's in anymore at this moment. You know, we've seen the Dodgers connected. Can he really go to the Dodgers after being a giant icon? I mean, I guess he could if they have the best offer, but, you know, they don't really play big in free agency anyway. I don't see them blowing him away. So I'm still going to be surprised if he goes to the Dodgers. But, you know, obviously we know the Twins and the White Sox and the Angels will be in there, the Diamondbacks as well. I mean, he's in great position. The other really great players left are all in great position. Donaldson's going to do fantastic, whether it's with Atlanta or Texas or somebody else. And Ryu will do fantastic. Keuchel, I hear the market is heating up. So we may have something with him pretty soon. And it's a great market if you're a great player. We'll see what happens to the pretty good players.
So if you look at the National League East, the Braves need a third baseman. The Phillies need a third baseman. The Nationals need a third baseman. So when you mention Donaldson's name, my assumption he ends up with one of the three. Now we're hearing, because of you, Nolan Arenado may be out there. Is that legitimately something the Rockies would do, or is it more, let's just see what's out there? We really don't want to trade the guy as the face of the franchise, but let's take a look, see at what's out there. How serious is that?
Yeah, I mean, they're willing to listen on anybody. That includes him, and that's the one that's interesting. Obviously, the one team that people are talking about is the Dodgers as a possibility, and maybe that's why they didn't ever make an offer for Rendon, really, as far as we know. So maybe they're just concentrating on Arenado. You know, he's an L.A. guy. You know, there are a couple of complications there. First of all, he makes big money. Second of all, he does have a full no trade. People assume he'd accept the Dodgers if that was the team that he was traded to, and he has an opt-out, and his opt-out comes in 2 years now since he's already played 1 year with the contract. So a lot of complications, but if he is traded, I think it'd probably be the Dodgers.
Hmm. John Heyman.
They can't do that.
Yeah.
They can't do that.
Yeah, it's tough. I agree.
What?
It's tough.
They would trade Nolan Arenado
to the
Rockies. Dodgers?
They don't have, you know, sports talk radio.
They have to have
it. Yes,
they don't have it in Denver. They have
to have it.
And
but
I guess that
they
only really care about the Broncos there anyway, right?
Yeah. I don't think anybody's listening or more, you know.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets can't, like, trade DeGrom to the Phillies, but, you know, it's Colorado. People are skiing. They're out there enjoying the outdoors. I don't think they really mind.
I think they only care about the Broncos there. Well, I really do. What kind of attendance do they get in Colorado?
They do well, actually.
Yeah, they don't do bad. Yeah. You know, when they were the bullies, the Blake Street bullies,
they were good.
Making, I think they drew, like, $4 million or close. They were
good 2 years ago. Yeah, they were good, but that's when, you know, they had a really good team then.
The Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, they draw okay. A nice park. You know, it's a nice place
to go.
You
know where they finished in attendance?
No.
They finished ahead of the Mets. They were sixth in attendance this past year. Yeah,
Mets were seventh?
No, the Mets were 13th.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The Rockies finished with an average attendance of 36,953.
That's a big number.
Dodgers were number one, but the Rockies were sixth. Now, I think you guys are both being very unfair to the people of Denver. I think they like the Rockies.
No,
and
I'm
sure. I think that the people may not have a big voice. No, why do I have to be their voice? But I think it's actually a disgrace. I think it is a flat-out disgrace if they trade Nolan Arenado to the Dodgers.
Yeah, it is, but it's not good.
So I don't think we should poo-poo it because
well,
we're in New York. We don't care. That's a disgrace.
No, you care. It won't play well in New York radio,
I
but I think in Denver radio they'll live with it.
I care. That's why I care.
They're more
but
interested
a Rocky
in
fan,
the,
I would be...
the backup offensive guard or something.
That's what I said. It's a Bronco town.
Are the Yankees done now? They brought Gardner back. They obviously let Didi go. They bring in Garrett Cole. Is this pretty much it, barring, like kind of minor moves to fill out the roster?
You never want to say never. They'll investigate everything. They could look at rotation depth. Right now you got Montgomery, I think, as the fifth starter. I've seen them connected to Hader. I think Ken Rosenthal connected them to Hader. I don't see Hader in New York as a particularly great fit, even though he's an incredible relief pitcher. I think he works better in Milwaukee. We'll see. But, I don't think they're done. You know, they may look at some depth issues, and if they do trade Andujar, they'll need to get another infielder.
Mm. John Hamm. Oh, we got to discuss the Hall of Fame. I mean, really? I mean, not even a glimmer for Thurman Munson getting in the Hall of Fame here. I know Ted Simmons got in. Was he really better than Thurman Munson, Ted Simmons? Really?
No, I think Thurman Munson was a better player. Ted Simmons had longevity on his side, and unfortunately, Thurman Munson died and wasn't able to play out his career. I'm with you. I think I think we're in agreement on this. I think they need to look at greatness more than longevity.
Yes.
I voted for Mattingly, for Parker, for Murphy, and for Garvey when they were on the ballot for us. And none of them really got a sniff at all, nothing at all. And they really give longevity a big weight. Simmons was a really good player, and, he's borderline, and a good, great hitter for a catcher, which I think we've probably...
No, he was a great hitter, switch hitter. He was a very good hitter.
Yeah.
I mean,
was
there's
he better
no doubt
than Posada? I don't know that he was better than Posada.
Yeah, well, that's fair, too.
Pretty comparable.
Different era.
That's fair, too.
It's a different era. It's tough. I mean, Posada had very good numbers. He was in a loaded lineup in an era in which there was more offense. I'm just being honest about it.
Well, that is
true. I think Joe's point is real good, though, about Munson in that. And I know we can take that Munson debate with a lot of other players, like a Johan Santana, and say, and Don Mattingly, for that matter.
Right, of course.
Hey, they were great. They were amazing for 5 years, 4 years. Is that enough? And that's really what it comes down to.
It was for Sandy. I mean,
that's because it was out of
the world. And I understand that he was out of this world, but I mean, let's be honest. I mean, for Sandy Koufax, it was basically five ridiculous years.
Yeah, but he's Sandy Koufax. Come on.
But because of five ridiculous, not because,
ridiculous years.
Not because
though.
Of what he did when he was in Brooklyn in 1955. I mean, come on.
I mean, he was named one of the four greatest living players a couple of years ago.
John,
Sandy Koufax.
Koufax.
He's not a comparison for
Sandy
any of these guys.
Sandy Koufax was my favorite players. Even though I was a Met fan, he was one of my favorite players growing up. I love Sandy Koufax. I rooted for them in all their World Series they played, 63, 65, 66. I rooted for them in all of those because of Sandy. So I was a big Sandy Koufax guy. But the reality of it is it was five really ridiculous years.
With fantastic years.
I'm a Pete guy anyway.
I supported Mattingly.
I'm not saying he doesn't belong in there, but I mean, that should be the criteria for a guy like Thurman Munson or Don Mattingly.
The problem is, I don't think Thurman Munson or Don Mattingly is good as
they were.
They
didn't have those kind of years.
Right. That's what
I understand
it comes to.
That.
The question is, what's the bar? How great do you have to be in a short period of time?
That's
and
right.
I don't know. It's different.
I think Mattingly was great. He was one of the best few players in the game for that 5-year period.
To me, he was the best player for about 5 years.
They're very similar to Kirby Puckett. And I mean, it is the Hall of Fame. He's pretty famous. And deservedly so. The guy was fantastic. I'm not big on the longevity. That's why I don't really get the Lou Whitaker argument. I never saw him as a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's nice that he has a very high WAR, higher than
even Alan Trammell. I don't see.
I could see Trammell. I mean, he's borderline. I voted for him, I think, the final year that he was on, and I hadn't before that, but I could see that. I mean, he was an MVP. He was a little bit above Whitaker, on the line, I think. But, I think that Parker, Garvey, Murphy, Mattingly, Munson got short shrift. I mean, that was the bottom of the ballot. There were supporters for Mattingly. Doug Melvin was on there. He was a Yankee executive. He made a pitch. I believe he got 3 votes, but I mean, 3's not very many when you need 12.
Can I make the argument for Roger Maris?
You could make an argument for Roger.
No, I said I would like to be the guy that stands in front of whoever needs to be stood in front of and make the argument for Roger Maris. Now, I understand the numbers say he's not a Hall of Famer, but the guy was a tremendous player. I mean,
yes.
And I saw him in his prime, and I always liked Maris, because of the fact that, Mickey got – everybody loved Mickey. Nobody really loved Roger. And Roger was a great player, back-to-back MVP.
But he didn't do it long enough time.
No, that's it. I understand.
That's what it comes down to.
He did go to the World Series 7 times. He won 3 World Championships. He was a pretty good player.
Yeah, Murphy was back-to-back MVPs. He also didn't have the longevity.
Nope.
His case is pretty good. I'm not sure on Roger Maris. He obviously had one amazing season.
One ridiculous year.
Yeah. Yeah, and Koufax had 5 of those.
No, nobody's knocking. I love.
I know. I'm just saying that
should be at least that there is a criteria for a guy like that.
The problem is, all right. I know it's tough because I didn't see Roger Maris play. So my only minus stats.
Maris is never getting in. I know that, but I'd like to make the case for.
No, I get it. But the problem is Maris had 3 or 4 great seasons. If we're putting him in for 3 or 4 great seasons, then why wouldn't Johan Santana be a Hall of Famer?
No, I understand.
And I don't think you think of Johan as a Hall of Famer.
No, I do not.
Okay.
Definitely not.
That's the problem. It's just not enough.
I know.
It's just not enough.
I think you're right. I think they're close. They're near great, but not in the top 1% because of the longevity.
You know who's a Hall of Famer? Let's go real old.
Oh, boy, we're not bringing up this guy again.
Yeah, Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Oh, okay, I agree. Yeah, somebody asked me that in the lobby yesterday. I agree.
There's another guy that's a Hall of Famer, too. Pete Rose. We don't have to go back that far.
Absolutely.
We don't have to come
agree
back
with that.
Absolutely. They're going to wait until the day after he dies.
Yeah, as soon as he dies, Rose goes in.
You know what, though? That's not true because Jackson's been dead for a long time. Where's he at?
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I believe.
And I'm sorry. I don't think Joe Jackson was as bad of a human as Pete Rose was. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Joe Jackson threw any games in that World Series.
No.
And you know what? Here's the thing about Pete Rose. Did he throw a game as a manager? He has got such little credibility
that
no one knows anything about him.
But the guy's one of the great players.
Of course he is. So is Joe Jackson. Right, They're both great
put
players.
Put him in. I'm in.
From a talent standpoint, from a performance standpoint, they should both be in. The problem is Joe Jackson's been dead for so long.
Yep.
People who watched him have been dead for so long. No one's going to stand up and say a damn word about him. And pretty soon that's going to happen with Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be dead then, too.
Yep.
Well, Pete Rose lied for years. Now, lying seems to be more acceptable these days. But what
did Joe Jackson lie about?
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, he couldn't read or write. I think the guy, there's a lot of sympathy for him. So I think he should be in.
Thank you. Thank you,
John. We can agree on Shoeless Joe Jackson, but probably never Albert Bell. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I wasn't even going to bring him up.
We didn't bring him up.
I'm sorry. That was my bad.
You know what we should bring up, though? I don't know if you know this, Joe, but you definitely don't know this, so I'm going to tell you. While we did this interview, Heyman's tweeting about Brett Gardner re-signing with the Yankees.
Oh, did you?
How impressive is that?
That is impressive. So you're like multitasking, John. You are like a multifaceted dude, John.
My whole persona has evolved thanks to you guys.
All right.
Well, clearly it's cost us any relationship with
Joel Sherman.
Maybe
some other people, too.
You know what? I'm going to work on that. We're going to try to
smooth
things over.
Tell Joel. Say, does he really just hate us?
Yeah.
Why?
I will say this. I've talked to Joel.
I will say this. Can I say one thing? Maybe this is the reason he doesn't like us, too, because I have not exactly always been very nice to the Baseball Writers Association of America.
Oh, you think that could be it?
It might be. I mean, I've kind of taken shots at them, so maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, he's not that sensitive. I don't think he worries about that. But I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and if we have to have a truce, get together, something, we'll do it.
All right.
All right, John.
I just got that icy feeling, and I'm used to it because I was in high school when I would be around women. I got that same icy feeling from Bill Sherman at MLB Network.
You got a lot of ice.
Yes.
a lot of ice over the years.
We know what it feels like, you know?
Now we got to hit you. Now, you know what tonight's football game is, right? You know?
Is it the Jets?
It is.
And okay, I'll go with the other team.
Okay, well, let me just tell you the number, though. You need to know the number.
I don't really need
What's the number you got there, bro? I got him. The last number I saw was the Ravens are favored by 15. That's the last number I saw.
Yeah.
I saw 16.
All right, so you, either way, 15, 16, 14 and a half.
I'll give 17.
All right, so you're going with the Ravens.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'll give
17.
That's a wise move, John.
Yeah, they have a fairly good quarterback from what I hear.
He's okay.
It's not terrible.
Right now, they're the best team in the league, so we'll say that.
I think that is very
fair. Yeah, the Jets are not the best team.
No.
So.
No. If you can't, they have won 4 out of 5, but who cares? We'll say that.
Well, John Harbaugh cares.
They're
he was
scheduled.
Pumping the Jets up. Oh, they're a good team. They're red hot.
Well,
they're this, they're that.
What's he going to say?
The spread, by the way, on FanDuel right now is 16.5.
Wow.
And the money
and a
line
hook.
And the money line is 850.
Oh, my God.
I'll take it. 16.5.
Yeah, 850. Could you imagine? You can retire.
I think I'm doing it.
No, nah, come on.
You can retire, but that's if they win.
This is like that dumb Nick line with Philly.
It is. It's very
and at least
similar.
They're in the game. Well, maybe if you do it, at least the Jets will at least be
you
in the game.
You know what? I think I'm doing it. Can you imagine the feeling? Because we'll be watching this game somewhere in Philadelphia. If it's
let's
a tie game in fourth quarter.
Let's put it this way. With that big raise you got coming, you'll be able to afford it.
Oh, well, congratulations. I hadn't heard.
Hold on a minute.
What he's talking
there's
about.
No congratulations on anything.
No?
Hold down. No.
I think he's talking about the raise my wife
is about
to get.
Yeah, right. That's what we're
she's
talking
about. She's thinking about leaving her job.
Right. So there you go. Now, there's nothing to congratulate us about at all, John. Okay.
Well, I don't know. You guys are doing great. I've seen the ratings. They're very positive.
And you've been a big part of that, John. You realize
that. Well,
I
don't know about that. We're talking 20 minutes
gone up
of,
because of John Heyman.
I don't know. That's very nice of you to say, but it's 20 minutes out of a week.
And the biggest congratulations is that you were the first person to report the Gerrit Cole deal.
That is brilliant.
That was you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I hope that next year you'll be the first one to report the Mookie Betts to the Mets deal.
Yes, please.
You'll be the guy.
Well, you know, I mean, Stevie Cohn's coming in.
Yeah, no, we're well aware.
Yeah, I figured you were. I think he wants to be approved, so I don't know.
We approved.
I
know the entire fan base, except for Mitch Amster, approves.
Everybody
but official Mitch. Approval has to come from the Major League Baseball owners.
We get it. We get it. Thank you, John.
Oh, by the way, he took the Ravens tonight, right?
Yes, he's
the Ravens.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Wise move.
Thank you, John. John Heyman on the baseball and the pick. Yeah, it's 16.5, and the money line is 850.
Wow.
That is insane.
Yeah, well.
This would be, I heard Boomer and Gio speculating, even though they knew the answer, this would be the biggest upset of the regular season, spread-wise, if the Jets won outright.
Well, they're not winning.
No, I don't think they are either, but...
if they won a game outright, yeah.
Sometimes value just jumps out at you, and that's an insane... 850?
Boy, I tell you.
850? It's the NFL. You watch this sport your entire life. Crazy stuff happens.
I got one word for you. Two words. The Jets.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, I there's just too much against them in this game. If it was a regular, if it was a full week off between the two games, maybe I'd look at it a little differently. Maybe I'd say, the money line, okay.
Yeah.
But 4 days on the road, you know, they're all Bilal's not playing. Jamal's probably not playing in this game. You know, Griffin's not playing. They got no chance.
The Ravens are coming off all these wins against good teams.
Who they play next week, the Ravens?
Cleveland. Yeah, I know. It's not that.
If it was Pittsburgh next week, maybe I'd feel a little differently.
Yeah.
What, they finished the year with Pittsburgh? They have
they
to.
They finished
the Jets
with Pittsburgh.
Play Pittsburgh next week.
Yep. Week 17, Ravens, Steelers, and Baltimore.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.